Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine crisis to the battlefield. I welcome Sebastian Roblin, writing in 1945 about the Battle of Mykolaiv, the second most important port in Ukraine on the Black Sea. And Mykolaiv is at the Bug River, the very famous Bug. If you read Napoleon's March on Moscow and read Germany's March on Moscow, this Bug River, however, needs to be crossed at Mykolaiv. We begin the battle, however, on the 24th and the 25th. The ambition is Odessa, beyond the Bug River. We begin, however, with the Russian forces arrayed. Sebastian, congratulations for your piece. It's most helpful. The launch on the 24th and the 25th. I saw a video that night, without understanding it, taken from what it appeared to be a high-rise by a cell phone, of a Russian anti-aircraft, mechanized anti-aircraft system rolling past a gas station in what was identified as Kherson. I didn't know what that was. Now, thanks to your help, Kherson was the first achievement in the battle for Odessa. Your opinion right now, did the Russians launch out of Crimea with adequate forces to roll into Odessa over three rivers in the initial stages of the battle? Good evening to you.
Oh, wonderful to have a chance to speak with you on this. So the problem with the Russian attack that came out of Crimea, actually, was that they were a victim of their own success. Most of the other Russian armies that began the attack on Ukraine did not make as much progress as they had probably hoped for. They found the defenses stiffer. But out of Crimea, they were able to seize two cities, Kherson, and also to the east of that, Melitopol, very early in the first week of the war. And so that meant suddenly they were asked to intervene in many different sectors to try to assist the Russian attack. Like, the main force that we thought would be fighting for Odessa ended up being oriented more to the north and the east to help surround the city of Mariupol. And another spearhead was launched north towards the Ukrainian city of Zaporizhia. And they captured a nuclear power plant in a somewhat famous incident, but they didn't have enough troops to really invest the city. So what ended up happening is a different army was taken from out of region, called the 49th Combined Arms Army, and also the Crimean Garrison Unit, the 22nd Corps, were sent westward across the bridge they had captured at Kherson. And there's also one to the northeast, called Novogokhovka, which serves as a second bridge to pour into southwestern Ukraine. Because just getting that bridgehead over the southern Dnieper River was a huge success for them. It meant that a huge amount of territory in Ukraine could now be threatened from the south that would have looked kind of difficult to break into at the beginning of the war.
The attack on Mykolaiv, however, developed over several days. So let's, because your article is excellent in dating these things, on the 24th, the 25th, and through that week, they're making these advances, as you've just evidenced, and pulling troops away from the original attack. But we come to the crossing of the three rivers and the Russians reaching the bridge at Mykolaiv and also flanking to the north of Mykolaiv with resources. The campaign was doing very well as of March 2nd, according to my notes here. And then something happened. But I first want to understand from the Russian point of view, when they reached the bridge at Mykolaiv, did they still have the confidence? You say that they rolled through the town with several tanks in, the second day of the war.
There was an advance force that crossed over the Dnieper ahead of other Russian troops and managed to enter the city. And they were eventually stopped, but it seemed to imply, the defenses here are really weak, and that probably a more determined attack could just seize the city outright and maybe not even necessitate a flanking.
So that's February 27th. They were very, very early in February 25th, 26th, 27th. They were very in the Mykolaiv. Mykolaiv is chiefly to the east side of the Bug River, east side.
Yeah.
And the Russians had confidence. But at this point, there is an air battle overhead, which seems important because it suggests that the Russians did not bring in their really good anti-air equipment this far west. Is that the conclusion you draw?
I think that their longer range surface to air missiles were not providing coverage, or at least very effective coverage at that in southern Ukraine, which is understandable because of geography too, because a lot of them are deployed on the northern border of Ukraine. So from there, I think that those batteries have restricted how the Ukrainian Air Force could operate, and they felt in the south that there was a lower risk and a more potential for use of air power.
But
it should be stressed that Ukrainians definitely suffered losses nonetheless from short-range air defenses the Russians
had. Yeah, both sides, my notes here, are suffering air losses on the 27th and the 28th. Yes. Frogfoot, it's called. That's the NATO, Sukhoi 25s. They're flying the same aircraft, which is very difficult to spot when you're shooting anti-air. But in any event, we now have the 28th, when you note a drone, a Turkish drone, destroyed a fuel train in the Crimea. What conclusion do you draw from that fact? Here we are fighting for Mykolaiv, and suddenly they're attacking in Crimea.
Well, the drones that Ukraine acquired from Turkey, just a year or two before the war broke out, have proven perhaps the most effective, at least in the kinetic sense aspect of the Ukrainian Air Force. Apparently, they had already performed very well under conflicts prior in the Nagorno-Karabakh region between Armenia and Azerbaijan and Syria and Libya. But the thought was often, if they faced the Russian army directly, they would have more competent defenses. But instead, it's proven that these slow-moving, short-range drones are still very hard for the Russians to detect, and they're able to operate directly above their forces at slow speeds and pick off air defense vehicles and that fuel train. And so it seems likely that slowed down the Russian advance, just not having as much fuel as they'd hoped for to push all their units at once.
Right. Logistics are always a major story. As I've read repeatedly, tactics win battles, logistics win wars, and the Russians lose their extra fuel allotment for all of their offensive arms. But we now come to the important detail. Mm-hmm. March 2nd and 3rd at Mykolaiv, there is a determined stance made by the Ukrainians using javelins and other weaponry that they've acquired. And the battle is ferocious and reported in the Wall Street Journal, a week later. And that battle renders the Russians so badly that they pull back. According to your reporting, 110 KIA, 43 vehicles lost. And the Russians then roll back how far from Mykolaiv? They leave the town. Where do they go?
Well, they still have a sort of base around Kherson. And I think that the pressure on that town of Voznesensk, where they repelled the Russians, was still considerable, because I think there was a second attack around March 9th on it even. And that, too, was repulsed. And they eventually do make a full retreat, but that is when a Ukrainian mechanized brigade counterattacked towards Kherson. And suddenly it's oh, wow, our own position, our own base of power at Kherson could be threatened. So this flanking maneuver isn't proving successful, and we need to reconsolidate our position. So then they did withdraw them back, maybe around 90 miles, the troops that were furthest to the northwest trying to flank.
So between March 2nd, the contact, the major battle, and March 7th, Mykolaiv is no longer invested by Russian troops. Is that your understanding? Mykolaiv is open?
Well, The city itself also came under multiple attacks. They were like, there was a fight in the docks district, and there was what was described as a tank battle on the airport of Mykolaiv. And so the Russians did try again and again, and people feared that they would break through, but ultimately they were unable to secure a permanent foothold. And just like their flanking attack also wasn't able to hold on to the city they targeted at Voznesensk.
I'm speaking to Sebastian Roblin, writing at 1945 about the Russian intention to capture Odessa and to link up with a landing force. However, that means you have to reach Odessa across three rivers. And Mykolaiv, the second largest port on the Black Sea, is the bridgehead over the Bug River. The Ukrainian forces have blunted the advance, and when we come back, the counterattack beginning March 7th. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.